Welcome back to your show. This is Go Ask Your Father. Yes, coming from Kansas City, Kansas, I'm Monsignor Stuart Sweatland, president of Donnelly College, and it's so good to be with you. You can call us right now with your questions at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can also email us at father@relevantradio.com. That's father@relevantradio.com. Let's go right back to our phone lines to Wisconsin, to Danny. Danny, how can I help you?
Hi. I had a question about when would it be okay to have a difference of opinion or, I guess, belief from what the Catholic Church teaches in moving the church forward, like how the church went from all Latin to speaking, you know, the local languages, or having a feeling of, like, wanting priests to be able to be married or something like that versus something that would be considered actually, like, sinful to disagree. At what point is that okay?
Okay, great. This is a great example where we have to make some very careful distinctions. For example, the church never was a church that only spoke Latin. There was always rites, many rites of the church that never spoke Latin. They still maintain they're of apostolic origin, but they speak other languages. It was only in the Latin rite that Latin was used regularly. And even there, we mix, of course, the Kyrie is part of our tradition, which is Greek. So even there, there was a mixture. So that's more of a prudential judgment about the best way of celebrating liturgy, as is the question of whether we should ordain men who are married. Priests never get married, but that was never allowed. But sometimes in the church's history, and in some rites in the Catholic Church, we have allowed married men to be ordained, even to the priesthood, never to the episcopacy, at least since apostolic times. So that's again a question of prudential judgment. So and one can propose on questions of prudential judgment. One can propose arguments that might seem more prudent. Now, one has to accept the decision of the church's hierarchy when it comes to prudential judgments and follow them. One can't take matters into one's own hands, but one can put forward arguments that would try to make the point. And that's going to be a discussion we have, for example, a married priest. That discussion is going to take place at the Senate next year in Amazonia for all the nations that surround the area around the Amazon River in Latin America, South America. They're going to discuss, because of this shortage of clergy in some of the more remote parts of Amazonia, they're going to discuss that as a prudential judgment. And, we'll find out what will come from that discussion. But on matters of faith and morals, matters that aren't about prudential judgment, but matters of faith and morals, what we are to believe and how we are to live as Christians, there we have to give, in matters of faith and moral, what the Second Vatican Council calls, really quoting the First Vatican Council, a religious submission of mind and will. Sometimes that's translated as a ready and respectful allegiance of mind. But it's with a religious assent of the soul. Asserunt is the Latin there. A religious assent of the soul to the ordinary teachings of the church. So we have to give religious assent to the ordinary teachings of the church. So if a Catholic, for example, says, I'm a Catholic, but I think sometimes it's okay to directly attack innocent human life, that is dissenting from received church teachings on how we ought to live. It's never legitimate to directly attack innocent human life. So those have to be received with that religious assent of mind, at least. And in some cases, it's de fide. It's of the faith. And that we should never directly kill the innocent, I think, is of the faith. That's my personal theological opinion. So for that person, I think they're dissenting from something that's been defined by the church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I'm just one. Yeah. Okay. I'm just so. I mean, what should one do if you establish, let's say, a belief that you feel might be outside direct teaching? I mean, just talk with it over with a priest, or because I feel like there should be some way to move forward in some things like that, or find a, is there a way to maybe, I don't know, I guess I can't really put into words what I'm thinking.
Well, yes, I mean, the Code of Canon Law does give us both the right and sometimes the duty to make our opinions known to our Episcopal, our superiors, as far as the order of orders. So to make to your pastor, or in many cases your bishop, why you propose it. Now, what you're talking about really, Danny, is theology. Theologian's job is to explore the faith, you know, it's faith seeking understanding. So a legitimate theology always begins with belief. And from belief, you move towards understanding that. And theologians will come up with what they believe sometimes is a better way to express or explain or to put forward an aspect of the complexity of our faith. You know, I, for example, along with others, believe that the church should move towards a universal prohibition of the death penalty. I couldn't say that that was the teaching of the church. It was my personal theological opinion. But people like myself, who were theologians, published articles and books and you know, made these arguments in public ways as part of our theological endeavors and part of our vocation, and we proposed it to the church as a legitimate development of doctrine. Now, Pope Francis has affirmed that that is a legitimate way of looking at things, and now we have the new paragraph in the Catechism that reflects that teaching. So, in this, it's an example of the theological work that led to a clarification about a disputed issue in the church, and that's the give and take. It's always the bishop's job to officially teach. It's theologians' jobs to propose clarifications where they think clarifications need to be made.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it.